Our next speaker is Bill Hansen. Bill Hansen and his love, Kate Troll, have lived in Ketchikan and Juneau since 1981. They have two children, Aaron and Ryan, who live in Juneau and other places. Bill retired from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on January 1st of this year, and now lists his occupation as writing and recreation. He is considering following the footsteps of a friend with the business card, Professional Bad Influence. Recently, he sold his fourth novel, as well as the film rights to his unpublished previous three novels. Despite the large advance in film royalties, he and Kate plan to remain in their same home in Douglas and enjoy Southeast Alaska and friends as always. Here's Bill.
Thank you. Well, if you know me well, or maybe even not so well, you may be saying, wait, that's not true. That introduction isn't true. But it isn't false either. It's actually my rearview mirror for the year 2017. And my plan is that in that rearview mirror, everything in it is true except for the part that hasn't happened yet, which is I will finish my novel at the end of this month, my fourth novel, which hasn't been published yet, and neither have the three others. And it will be sold along with film rights and everything else by 2017. So that's my plan. When you retire, which I just did, you think about what you're going to do next. And I have a list of priorities that are basically in three categories. Have fun with Kate. Travel and go out and find adventure both here and far afield. And write, mostly fiction, probably novels, just like I've been doing. And as I thought about that recently, I realized that actually took me back to another time when I really didn't have a job, 1993. Kate and I moved up in 92, and I left a job to move up with her. And I was looking around. It was a good time for me. I was writing. And we decided to take a trip to, as it turned out, Malaysia and Singapore. Not places I would have picked. I don't know if Kate, probably not either. But she's pretty good. She's really good. Kate taught me how to travel. That's what this is about. And she is very concise in helping figure out where to go. It's not pick the place so much as pick what you want to do and what you like and then do it. So what we did is we said, well, I want to go to a place that doesn't have English as a first language, but has English as a second language somewhere there, so you have some fallback. It's my first international trip ever. A place with warmth, beaches, places to visit that are interesting, like in this case, jungles, and an interesting people and culture. Singapore and Malaysia have a mixture of Chinese, Indian, and Native Malaysians. And they also have the religions of Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, and the Chinese religions all side by side, mixed up on streets, temples next to each other. It's a really interesting place. And the final thing was a place that was relatively safe for Americans, that liked Americans. So off we went. We sent the kids to Grandpa and Grandma. We got on the plane, went through Tokyo to Singapore. And on the way, Kate said to me, what are you planning to do next for work? You know, what do you want to do? What do you want to do for work? I said, well, I'd really like to be a writer. I'd like to write, but I don't think it's going to be something I can make a living on. So she said, well, be a writer. You can start right now. You're a writer. Be a writer. Every time somebody says, what do you do for work? Say, I'm a writer. And she had a job, but she said, you know, I think I'm going to do that too. It actually sounds like fun. So that's what we did. We became writers. So I mean, right as we went through passport control in Singapore, you know, occupation. I'm a writer. Kate also always has stretched my comfort zone and my boundaries, which is something I value highly. And in this trip, my first international trip, I think the thing that stretched me the most was she said, okay, we're gonna make reservations for the first couple of days when we get into Singapore and the last couple of days when we come back from Singapore. No more reservations, nothing. Nothing for hotels, nothing for transportation for the other two and a half weeks. We're gonna travel up through Malaysia and back. We're just going to do it as we find it. And we went in the off season, so we had some idea that we'd have rooms available. So we did that, and it actually worked great, I have to say. I want to share one story that really has stuck with me through the years and meant a lot to me then and still represents our travel, as does this now. And that is, we got up first morning in Singapore, had breakfast, called a taxi to go downtown to visit a market that we found in our little guidebook, the Lonely Planet guidebook. And I was reading my journal last night, because I really did do a lot of writing on this trip. And in my journal it says, taxis don't take you where you want to go. Buses do. And this taxi, it wasn't the only one we took. But it did take us where we wanted to go. The problem was where we went and got to the right place, there was nothing there to go to. Because here in Singapore, and Singapore is a huge city. It's actually a really interesting place. It's a city-state. There aren't very many of these sovereign city-states, just a handful in the world, and that means it's a country and a city, but just a city and a country. And so it's 5.5 million people in a really tight little place. It's like a whole country in the middle of New York City. So we get to this place, which is a market that isn't open. It's not open, so we start walking into town, and it's empty. This entire city, there's not a person on the street, there's not a car, there's nothing. It's just Bill and Kate in all of Singapore, downtown Singapore. And we're like, what's going on? You know, we found out later it was a religious holiday that we didn't know about. Then the sky just opened up and it started raining, thunder, lightning, and we dodged for a portico of a bank. We sat down the steps. We weren't really discouraged, we were just confused about what to do. And down the street through the rain, we saw a man walking toward us, a Malaysian man with his sarong that comes down to below the knees, umbrella over his head. He walks right up to us, and he smiles, beautiful smile, kind of broken teeth, but really beautiful smile. And he says, may I help you in English? And we told him our problem. He said, well, the Chinese district's always open. It's right over there. I'll show you where to go. He takes me out on the street, kind of says, Mrs., stay under the portico, to Kate, which went over really well. And and showed me kind of the where to go. We went back, and under the portico, he handed me his umbrella. And he said, here's my umbrella. Keep your wife dry. And I said, thank you. Let me pay you for the umbrella. And he said, no, you can't pay me for the umbrella. This is a special holiday, and I needed to give a gift to somebody. And so it's a gift from me. You're doing a giant favor. You're giving me a favor to take my umbrella. And then he just handed it to me and walked off down the rain, through the rain, and disappeared. So I just want to say that that's the way we travel, and that's what I hope to do. And thank you very much, Kate, for teaching me to travel.